It's a make-or-break day for a proposed new stock exchange that offers a kind of immunity against high-speed traders. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Securities and Exchange Commission is expected to decide today whether or not America gets a new stock exchange. It's an electronic market designed to thwart high-speed traders where speed can be an advantage. IEX is the brainchild of Brad Katsuyama, the high-frequency trading critic featured in the bestseller Flash Boys. IEX has already been operating, but to become a fully-fledged public exchange, it needs a much higher level of regulatory approval. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
Yale law professor Jonathan Macy says you could think of an average investor as a truck that needs to gas up at a station. Now imagine that a motorcycle, a high-speed trader, is able to figure out the truck's intentions using sophisticated computers and algorithms. Then the motorcycle zooms ahead to the next gas station and buys up all the gas.
So that when the truck driver finally shows up at the station on the highway, the motorcycle guy has all the gas and is only willing to sell it to him at a higher price.
That's the kind of situation IEX's exchange seeks to rectify, according to Tyler Galosh with Healthy Markets Association. It's a group of institutional investors. Galosh says IEX would put a small speed bump in the path of high-speed traders.
So they're not going to be at a distinct advantage that they might be on many of the current exchanges and other venues.
IEX is already operating as a private trading venue. It's not clear how much influence it would have as a public stock exchange, but Galosh says brokers would be forced to route trades through IEX in its public form if it offers the best prices. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Checking financial markets this morning, the 100-share index in London is up sharply, 1.3%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.1% range. Crude oil is up at $47 a barrel. The euro is up slightly, with the euro costing $1.12.5. Today, President Obama meets with a Saudi prince who's been doing a U.S. tour this week to win friends and influence people. 30-year-old Prince Mohammed bin Salman is the Saudi defense minister, but his visit comes as Saudi Arabia has announced an overhaul of its economy at a time that Washington-Riyadh relations are strained. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Saudi Arabia has big privatization plans. Even the national oil company isn't excluded. Jacob Kierkegaard is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says the Saudis want American investors to buy those assets.
Because it would give more American economic entities a stake in the long-term economic success of the current Saudi government.
They may not want one. Nada Hashemi of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Denver says world events are eroding this relationship. The rise of ISIS is linked to Wahhabi Islam, which began in Saudi Arabia.
When the spread of this particular toxic interpretation of Sunni Islam has gone global and is now affecting young kids, not only in Orlando, Florida, but there were direct links to Saudi Arabia in the San Bernardino massacre.
Still, he says for now, most politicians won't risk the economic and political consequences of loosening those Saudi ties. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
This week, we've been asking, what is the point of corporations? Whom do they serve, especially the ones with stocks listed on public exchanges? The trend lately has been fewer companies choosing to raise money by going public. Gerald Davis, a professor of management at the University of Michigan, has a new book out called The Vanishing American Corporation, and I wanted to learn why the Vanishing Act.
Partly, it's regulation. It's a bit costlier to be a public corporation. Another thing is that activist investors are a lot more virile than they used to be. Activist investors are convincing even renowned companies like DuPont or Dow or Apple to change their ways. So all in all, the public markets are a very scary place to be.
I want to talk to you about this article of faith that corporations are job creators. Now and forever, a corporation is good at making jobs. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. I looked at about 1,600 companies that have gone public in the U.S. since 2000, and they create surprisingly few jobs. The median company from the moment it went public until either 2014 or when they were no longer a public company created about 51 jobs total around the world, which is a really small number. When Walmart announced in 2015 that they were going to raise the minimum wage at their store to $9 an hour, they said it would cost them $1 billion that year. and their market capitalization went down by $8 billion that day. The market does not reward you for creating jobs and paying people well.
So to someone who's going to say what this country needs is more public companies because we got to get more jobs here, there's not necessarily a relationship.
I'd say absolutely no relationship. It's very difficult to find cases of companies that go public with the idea of hiring people in mind. If you look at Amazon, their warehouses are not staffed by full-time employees. They're staffed by temps. If you look at the best-named companies in the tech sector today, hardly anybody actually works as employees at those companies. It's more of a contractor economy. And so if you can rent factory capacity, rent distribution, and rent employees from a temp agency, why would you bother being a public corporation?
It's a perfect plan in every way, except if you're a person who needed one of those jobs.
This is a system that works great for consumers because Amazon will bring you things 7 days a week. The prices are great. The service is wonderful. The flip side of this 1099 economy is it's never been as precarious a time to be a worker, at least since about 1900.
Gerald Davis is a professor of management at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. The new book is called The Vanishing American Corporation. Professor, thank you.
Thank you, David.
This is part of our week-long series produced with the publication Business Insider called The Price of Profits. We come at this from a lot of angles, including the debate over whether companies really have a legal responsibility to focus mainly on the interests of shareholders. Check out priceofprofits.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer, Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.